Two movies enter, one movie leaves as we watch Two, The Accountants, One featuring Ben Affleck and a whole bunch of other Oscar-winning performances. The other one, a short movie that everyone is confusing for the Ben Affleck film on the on Amazon. All today, so there can be only one podcast. Blue, keep going. Welcome to There Can Be Only One Podcast.
And take four.
Nope. Where we watch two movies with the same title and determine if any of them need to change, because I think everybody deserves a little change in our lives. My name is Robert Rowell, and joining me today are
Herman Omega Brown Davis
and
the loud one, David Vitrano.
Oh, you wish you were the loud one.
Making a return.
We just got back watching Baby Driver. This is the third time I have seen it. And
so, Robert, between Baby Driver and The Accountant with Ben Affleck, I think The Accountant with Ben Affleck deserves the title of The Accountant.
Yes.
That's true.
It's a really change of pace for the podcast, but you know what? This one was easy, guys.
Yeah. Well, Baby Driver, Baby Driver, you do not need to change your name to The Accountant. It doesn't make any sense.
There's no accounting for the fun that I had.
This was a movie that I gladly would watch even again. I've seen it three times in the theaters. This is as fun of a film that you're going to see this year. It is a movie my parents said, well, at least it had a happy ending. Like, that's how they said at the end, because they did not understand a lot of it.
Not just a happy ending, but a believable happy ending. Well, like, okay, that was really believable.
Let's just say, was that... I mean, we're going to keep it vague here.
Yeah, okay.
Was it 5 years later?
Well, that's, I guess, the idea. That's the way...
Is the top still spinning?
I mean...
Because there was a rainbow in the background.
Sure, but that's the...
Stylized version of
it. Well, that's
the
way Edgar Wright always does it. Yeah, he brought the image back of the whenever they met... And he also brought the whole Dolly Parton speech. That's the thing that you look for each and every viewing. What's also cool is I even missed it the first couple times. John Spencer played the guard, who is the guy who's part of the Blues Explosion, the first song that they played. That Edgar Wright, this is how the whole thing wanted to kick off. He said he always wanted to make a heist film where at the beginning the guy drives off the bell bottoms. Like that is something he's always wanted to do. So he got the guy who sang bell bottoms to play a bit role in his movie. And he wanted to also base it on The Driver, which is a film directed by Walter Hill. And Walter Hill makes a cameo appearance as the voice of his father, or his foster father, whenever they're doing the translating in the courtroom.
Oh,
so
okay.
So it has little things like that. And yes, it had Big Boy, Killer Mike, they were both in it, two Atlanta natives.
Now, damn, you really is a fan, bro. You caught all this. I got damn.
No, it's one of those things you catch after the third time. You start finding, you stay and watch the credits.
Did you catch that with no help? Like, you didn't go on the internet and catch?
I did not know about John Spencer. I knew about Walter Hill. Like, damn. That was one of those things that, like, I knew that he was a big fan of The Driver, that this was a influence on it, and Walter Hill, a subject that has been brought up several times in this podcast, because that guy makes not only good movies, but good movies with the same title as another film. So it always helps.
Something that I noticed was, like, in the beginning of the movie, the car that Baby drives, it has four wheels.
Oh.
Yes.
Good job.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, a little inside baseball for everybody.
Uh-huh. Yes. And they kept losing wheels as it went further and further down. They played had that Mr. Bean car, that one that he keeps running off the road that had three wheels. And then by the end of it, it's just a unicycle where he's firing two machine guns up in the air, like that, like those clowns in Batman Returns. That's
okay,
basically
really, how do you maintain balance on a unicycle while firing machine guns? Maybe if they're like bow firing at the same time, but that's really going to offset you.
Well, that's
the recoil.
If you remember, we had a incident that happened at the new Sonic, the one
that
isn't a driver.
The two machine guns and the unicycle.
I remember that robbery.
Right, the robbery. Well, it's not a robbery. It was just like a discussion between coworkers where it ended in one of them shooting the other one.
Oh, yeah.
And my first thought is, like, it had to happen at that Sonic, because if it happened at any other Sonic, they'd be wearing roller skates. And if he fired a gun, it would just propel him back into – like, it wouldn't make any sense. But because they didn't have roller skates on, like, he had the traction to be able to shoot somebody. So so that's always – like, you got to think these things through, of course. So that's why you have two machine guns. when you have a unicycle.
Are you saying it's like the trapeze artist, like on top of the tightrope? Yeah. Instead of an umbrella balancing either side, he just shoots a gun and the recoil balances them while he's walking a line.
Well, Super Soaker. You know, you got to make. Super Soaker? Really? Yeah, you do it because there's an audience working for you. Know, like if you can. You might be able to bounce a little bit better if you do something like that. That's not a bad idea.
Weight distribution?
Yeah. So for those
an all gun circus.
For those of you that are unaware, I know we've been talking about Baby Driver, but if you're unaware, there was a accountant film that came out last year starring Ben Affleck that is now going to get a sequel. We're going to play the trailer right now.
Sooner or later, different scares people. Yeah. You think if you don't fight back, then maybe they'll like you, stop picking on you, calling you a freak. Victim or not, make a decision.
Your son is a remarkable young man. It wouldn't surprise me if he has more in common with Einstein, Mozart, and Picasso than he does with us. He has highly advanced cognitive skills.
And now we're back. Gotcha!
Oh, Robert. With his editing. Actually, that was me that said, we're back, but Robert, you know, transferred his voice on my voice.
Yeah, that's what I do, man.
Yeah.
And now we're going to show a picture of a cat right now.
Yes.
All right, we're back.
Stupid cat pictures, where are they?
But if your phone does not support the picture package, then sorry.
Yeah. Right. Now, if it does support the picture package, right now, Robert's got the new Star Wars movie. Right now. And can we get the new T-2000 Terminator up there? Yeah, that's cool.
Sure, of course.
He destroys the thing up.
I don't remember that chimney that was been.
Played by Edward Furlong. Like, he's gone full circle. He's now the T-1000 role. He's gone from playing John Connor to being the hunter. So he's from the hunted to the hunter.
He was a robot the whole time.
Robot babies. We're being brief about this one. We only watched the last 20 minutes because everybody in this group here had seen The Accountant except David, who had only seen the first hour and 40 minutes of it. So he wanted to know like what happens throughout the entire movie. So we pulled it up. You got to see the very ending. And ta-da, now we're done. This is a film that stars Ben Affleck, and he is proud enough to where he's going to make a sequel with this, assuming the same main actors, the director's still on board, too. Didn't look like it cost a lot of money. I would say like maybe 50, 60. So it was probably a decent success, especially when it was released February?
I feel like people talked more about it after it left theaters, you know? Or right. Like, they're kind of like, oh, hey, if you didn't see The Accountant, it was good.
Yeah,
it was like a September, October film.
It was a surprising film. Like when I seen it in the theater, it was like a throwaway film. It was one of them 3 for days I do where I just go see 3 movies. And like I wasn't expecting it to be a good movie, but it actually was pretty damn good.
It's a fun ride. Yeah.
Yes. Something Baby Driver wishes they had the quote of, but they can't. Fun ride. That's our quote, damn it.
You keep saying action-packed thrill ride.
Yeah, but that's what surprised me, though, about the counter film is that Ben Stiller... Ben Affleck, excuse me. He actually had some good action moves. I was surprised that they cast him as Batman. Mm-hmm. And the counter came out before, Batman vs. Superman. And when I seen the fight choreography of the accountant, I was like, oh, he might work as Batman. He actually got the whole, you know,
well,
close quarter fighting down.
Ben Affleck is very much he is a person that wants to write, direct. He's turning into an actor that's trying to get multiple roles. Unfortunately, every film that you see him in, you just see Ben Affleck. There's no way you don't see that's Ben Affleck. All right, it's the same Tom Cruise syndrome that exists with him too. He might have a different name in there, but he's playing Tom Cruise. He's just playing a likable dude.
Yeah.
This is something that Casey Affleck also could have the same problem, except every role he plays is he's a down and out Bostonian, and it makes sense. He doesn't try to go for reach. Ben Affleck, on the other hand, does try to reach. Did you see Live by Night, the other film that he did, where he was a gangster?
Yeah.
No way he was a gangster. Like, there was the whole time you're watching it, the funniest thing is he was still just as yoked in that film, like for the Batman films.
Yeah.
So every time he wore a suit, it almost looked like when you put a suit on a baby, you know? He's not fat. But he just looks fat in those suits.
He has a babyish face, even though he's like getting older now. He has like a smooth like quality. You're just like, ah, dopey Ben Affleck.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when you say like you don't believe him as a gangster, I thought he was just basically playing the older role of the dude from Good Will Hunting.
Right.
Like dude who, you know, his friend got into college, so he just swinging the sledgehammer at bricks, breaking up the wall, so he turned to crime.
Right, right.
That's all I thought that was.
That's fine. He likes the book. There was a reason why he made it. He directed that one. The studio actually felt like this was going to get a big push for Oscar season. That's why they released right at the edge of 2016. It did not. That's why there's no Live by Night 2 happening, but there's the Accountant 2 happening.
It could be Live by Day.
Yes, it could be, yeah. But it's not.
Or the Rush version. Fly by Night.
Oh, okay. Yeah. YYZ?
Isn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I feel like there's almost a genre happening in front of us, and maybe it's just a revival with a modern spin on it, but I wouldn't say it's like a revenge movie so much as silent protagonists who is just like very good at like, because I mean, I want to say it kind of started with Taken. You got Liam Neeson, special set of skills, doesn't say much, but it's sure. Like, it's the... Like, I know close combat martial arts, and I can fire a gun very well. And I will barrel through a whole mob of people to get to my thing. Then you got John Wick.
Right. Yes.
And then you got the Accountant. I feel like the Accountant is a version of this.
Oh, excuse me, Drive.
Yeah, Drive. And then you also got Accountant, which is a version of this. They do have the autism angle and, like, you know, numbers thing. But it's the one-man army, quiet protagonist reaching his goal.
Sure.
I mean, I guess you kind of had the Clint Eastwood kind of thing, but it was more of a gunslinger vibe. So now that we've got, like, flashier graphics, flashier guns and stuff like that, but I feel like...
Let me see your 401k. Just now imagining Clint Eastwood as the Accountant.
You got to ask yourself, did you invest?
How much did you give to charity, punk?
You ask yourself, did I do that deductible? Did you?
Yeah, both sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Damn straight.
Have you ever heard Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Just saying.
Are you lucky, punk?
So the Accountant is a movie that it's strictly a vehicle to, and this is where it rubs people the wrong way. If you look on IMDb, or not on IMDb, if you look on Rotten Tomatoes for the Accountant, it doesn't have a high rating. I would venture to guess that the difference between the audience score and the critic score is decent.
Well, since I'm the audience,
I just feel like people,
I give it a 70.
I just feel like people react too harshly about a Hot Topic kind of thing.
Yes.
It's like, did they say autistic people were like inherent killers? No, it actually raised awareness about autism and people on the spectrum and then they need certain attention and stuff like that. They had fun with the idea, or they actually talked about it more. Like they made light of autism kind of thing. Like hey, not light of it, but they brought it to light. Like, hey, this is a condition, thing like this. But wouldn't it be interesting if somebody's thing wasn't a fixation on, not to make light of it, trains or, you know, this certain hobby, but they were pushed down this road and they used all that concentration and skill to do this. Like, screw you if that offends you. It's usually people that have no connection to autism that are offended.
But the tomato meter was 52%. The audience score was 77%. So that, yes.
Take credit.
Well, that's the thing. It's probably critics that write for a newspaper that don't want to, like, be on the, like, oh, I think this is fun to make fun of autism thing. Where it's like, it's easier to go, like, this was terrible, and I'm going to be like, look like a great person to my editor when I say autism's a real disease, guys.
Right.
I have a ribbon on my car.
Because it's a Lexus, and it was a birthday present. And
actually,
that's what you do.
It doesn't represent anything. I just like the way it looks in the wind. But I do have a ribbon on my car.
Go ahead, Herman. Sorry.
Yeah. I know. I'm trying to get an ass rattled with you. Nah.
I have a soapbox about these kind of things. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, though, I think this movie actually did, if it was trying to raise awareness for autism, I think it got it wrong because it looked like it was more about OCD than autism. Because I lived with a kid with autism for a couple of years, and I'm still kind of close with him. And he's not like that at all. If anything, it's more about emotion.
It happened with Rain Man. Same thing that happened. It's just Dustin Hoffman's interpretation of doing something. Nobody's like that the way he has it. It's just based on a character that wouldn't have been interesting if Dustin Hoffman made it the way it is. the difference that Hollywood does, and this is just the way Hollywood thinks, and to put it in, I guess, David's perspective, it's a D&D chart where the intelligence is at a 20 and the charisma's at like a 4. That's the way they want to treat him, is he's not, he doesn't do well with the public, but it doesn't matter because he's super smart and he can put his intelligence towards something. And that's just the way they treat it, is you need to have a deficiency, and they just, oh, we'll just slap autism on this as well.
And that's the thing, like, that isn't every autistic person. There's a whole range out there. You saw other kids in the school were interacting fine with people and just had momentary emotional things. They were trying to show an extreme example of that kind of thing.
Yeah, because what's the other one, the AS, I'll never say it right.
Asperger's.
There you go, see? Yeah.
So,
Well, it's just ass and then burgers.
Ass and burgers. Ass and burgers.
It's what they wanted to call good burgers until they realized, oh, shit, ass burgers. That's probably not something they wanted to throw out there.
Isn't that where the burgers come from, the ass of the cow?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's how the disease started.
And was, now you know the rest of the story.
You eat McDonald's, you get that disease.
Yeah.
That's what happens. So Ben Affleck is, and this is probably the real reason why I think people don't care for the film, is because Ben Affleck does not know how to play anybody but himself. So even though he's trying to look stone-faced the whole time, you even saw it at the very end whenever the brother's like, hey, you know, good to see me too, and he does a little smile. Like, he can't help himself. He's got, like, I got to do my Ben Affleck charm thing.
Yeah.
That's not what somebody would do, even in that situation that you created this character. He's still got to be stone-faced looking ahead. This is even a more unlikable version of Sheldon is what you have here. From Big Bang Theory. Sorry.
Yeah. No. I was just thinking, like, all right, has Jeffrey Tambor won anything?
Has he won anything, like, awards? Yeah, he probably not like an Oscar, but whenever he's been playing the TV show on Amazon. No, on Amazon. Transgender. Is that what it's called?
No.
Transparency? Is that what it's
transparent.
Called? Yeah.
He didn't win nothing for Arrested Development?
Nope.
No.
No, they gave the show best comedy show, and then they canceled it.
Because I totally forgot he was in the movie because we only watched like the tail end part of it.
Right, right. What's funny is it's just like if something wins an Emmy for best comedy, it's very much like Johnny Depp in Once Upon a Time in Mexico. It's too good, so we got to take it off the air. So every time there was a cook that made his dish too good, he had to kill someone. So that's what happens with all the good comedy shows. So yeah, Ben Affleck. He is a guy that is...
He's a numbers guru. They call him in when they need to figure out something that nobody else can do, 20 other guys. You know, he's the man that you get to do these big numbers.
Right.
But there's like three different stories kind of going on at the same time, would
right.
you say?
There's a background story because you have the J.K. Simmons with Funky Cole Medina. Mm-hmm. You have that whole side. You have the backstory, the backstory where Ben Affleck's like 10 and he's being trained by his dad.
So his dad and his mom break up. She can't handle how the dad, who's a military man, is trying to get the autism out of him by doing military training as a focus so he doesn't have emotional outbursts and stuff like that. So the mom leaves. So that just makes the boys hunker even more to the dad, who then travels internationally through his military career, having the boys train in martial arts with foreign trainers and learn all sorts of skills as a means to controlling his autism or his emotional like outbursts when you know he doesn't get to finish one of his projects.
Yes.
So that's his whole backstory.
Right.
Meanwhile, by day, he plays an accountant that comes in to fix something, and John Lithgow is running this big company who apparently is having some kind of financial difficulty, and there's a big scandal afoot. Someone dies.
Well, there's a hole in their accounting system. They're finding that money is being funneled out for a particular reason, so they bring in the Afster to handle everything, and he's like, I'm going to write on your walls. And I'm like, oh, all right, fine.
But guess what?
And it'd be permanent markers. Like, no, you monster!
They brought him in because they thought that he wasn't going to figure it out because he was masquerading as a small-town CPA.
Yeah.
So they thought, oh, let's bring in an idiot CPA to try to figure this out.
But guess who's also there to help? That's right, Pitch Perfect herself, Fat Amy. Fat Amy comes in. Anna Kendrick's there, and she plays the female, eye candy.
Probably, I guess we got to make sure that Ben Affleck's got a case of the not gays. That's very much like the whole reason she's there is like we got to give him a love interest to make it seem
David,
like.
Since you're here, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you rate Anna Kendrick's? Because you got to break this tie between me and Robert.
What did I say?
10, I would probably say, I mean, I really have no ill will. I don't know if she's my cup of tea.
Okay. Yeah.
She is. I've said that she is adorable. I don't see any reason to fuck her. She'd be someone I'd love to hang out with.
She's adorable at all.
I got to say, ever since we did Never Ending Story, she looks too much like Atreyu.
Oh, boy. That's true.
Maybe that's what I think it is. Okay.
She's without a doubt, could be a very cool person to hang out with. She seems very down to earth, but in a very fun way. She's definitely incredibly attractive, but there's not anything about me that says, like, yowza, gotta get me some of that. I feel the same way about a lot of leading ladies these days that were kids when you first watched them. You know, like, I don't need to see them grow up. This is weird. Like, when everybody's, like, calling, like, Daisy Ridley hot, I'm like, I mean, what, she was, like, 16 when she did Force Awakens? I don't know if I need to be doing this. This is weird. Should not be telling her to, like, you know, like, go to school. You know, like, that's what it feels like every time I see something like that.
It's really weird going to the movies with Robert. He just sits there off a glass of warm milk yelling at the screen. Like, why are you supposed to be at work?
Don't you know what time it is?
Who's Daisy Ridley?
You have class in the morning?
I'm just messing.
Me and your mom are very disappointed in you.
Robert, you don't know her. Don't tell me my business, David.
So Ben Affleck, he is, he's discovering out that there's something wrong with the books, but also Anna Kendrick's like, hey, you got to keep going on this thing.
And they get too deep.
Yeah, they you have Jay Baruchel, who is the guy that plays the Punisher on Netflix.
Name. Damn.
Isn't that how it's said? Jay Baruchel?
Yeah.
No. Eric Stenson. You're way off. You pronounce that terribly. I mean, it's spelled like Jay Baruchel, but it's Eric Stenson.
David V, do not trust his lies. Okay. That's why I got that tattoo.
Can I borrow that Polaroid? Just for a second. Just for a second. I'm going to Joey pants you.
Oh, no. That's where you pants me in front of the audience. No.
And then you forget. And then I say, it tastes just like chicken. And I wear a Kango hat. That's the Joey pants experience.
God, yeah. He wears Kango hat. Hey, we're back because everybody's distracted by a stupid bug.
Here, eat it.
What was that fly when you need it? God damn.
All right. So we actually got interrupted about 7 minutes, got knocked off, unfortunately. But I don't think we talked about the movie at all during that point.
Oh, man. That was, trust me, y'all. That was the best.
Warriors!
David's trying to prove why men, why I shouldn't set up 4 microphones for these things.
Yeah, I don't know why you do that anymore.
Just because it was already set up. I'm assuming that we had more friends.
You're right.
Eventually.
You need 5 microphones.
You assume we got more friends?
Give me all the microphones. All
right. So to cut it all short, basically Ben Affleck has to turn into warrior mode. Whenever. You find out that he not only does the accounting stuff, but he's also a kill or be killed kind of warrior. There's plenty of other things that happen, and it does make sense that he's called the accountant because they're trying to make it look like that's you don't want to call it like the assassin. That doesn't make any sense whenever he's being accounting.
No,
the
but
whole
they could have called it the janitor. It could
no, that's
it
Goodwill
teacher.
Hunting.
Yeah, yes.
They could have called it the teacher.
Why?
They could have called it the postman.
Why?
Because he always delivers.
Oh, is that it?
Okay. The Karl Malone story. Karl Malone is the accountant.
All right. Fair enough. But if we were going to call this something else, what other title would you put towards this movie? I was thinking Math Man was another one that...
Be-da-ba-ba-da-bo. Ba-ba-ba-da-bo. He's a math man.
That would be on Square One TV. This was a program that came on around like the early, no, it'd be late 80s. That was a 3-2-1 contact, but nothing but math. And the final 15 minutes was a dedicated program to something called MathNet, where it was a dragnet, but you learn math in the process of solving crimes.
Wow.
Yes.
That sounds fantastic.
It was only on public access, but you can find like the trailer for that might be what we use for the song because this is all about math because it's the stupid accountant thing. So
they call it the numbers game.
Yeah, the the problem is going to be is you got the sequel coming out, and you would have to force that also to be changed. Which is, do you think they're going to go Accountant 2, or do you think they're actually going to try something where they're going to creative up the title, where it's like physical year, like
Accountant times 2.
Yeah, sure. That's where they're going.
Back in Black.
Yeah, that could be it too. He has John Lithgow comes back from the dead, and he comes after him. Who knows?
Accounting to the quarterly report.
If you've never seen The Accountant, it's very much just one of those, oh, it's on HBO, let's watch it sort of kind of films. It is. We talked about possibly doing some other programs that were attached like that did. I'm just very curious. Whatever's going on over here.
I just took a whiteboard on my phone and I wrote account tents, and then I'm making giant S into a dollar sign. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you aliens.
Fair enough. They get James Cameron on board. The new accounts will cost $2 billion, and they will be blue.
$18 million, please.
Yes.
Just drew a dollar sign at the end of it.
No smurfs when I see it.
All right. So let's quickly watch the other accountants and see if we can actually if this movie will compare to the other one in any sort of way. It did come first.
What is that movie about, by the way?
We'll find out.
Okay.
Again, well, why should we play the trailer? Then we figure out what it's about.
I was trying to save some time.
Why? Why? Who cares?
I might not be here. Bye.
Now that right there, that's a handwritten journal of the old Dales. Passed down from father to son. It's all the way back to when my great-great-granddaddy owned 1,000 acres to the measly 150 that I got now.
I'm not following you, son.
It's a tragedy.
Uh-huh.
Well, somebody could turn this into a book or a movie or something.
A movie about the old Dales.
Well, why not? Billy Bob Thornton done it.
Well, I don't think it was his true life story, David.
But you said that he's the real deal. He's a good old boy, just like us. And well, if he can do it, why can't we?
Where's this Billy Bob supposed to be from?
Arkansas, I think.
Where was President Clinton from?
Arkansas.
Coincidence. Stay with me now. How many people around here you know named Billy Bob?
None.
Or even the ubiquitous Bubba?
I don't know about him, but there's that Bubba on In the Heat of the Night reruns.
Exactly my point. Bubba, Gomer, Goober, Cletus, Enos, Cooter, Jethro, Ellie Mae, Billy Bob? Don't insult my intelligence.
You saying Billy Bob ain't a real person?
I ain't gonna let no real good old boys in the movie picture business, son. Too risky for them.
They? Who's they?
Oh no! You fucked your mom. Is that what happened? What? Oh no!
Is that
it's all Back to the Future thing. He's slowly disappearing.
Okay. I was wondering where he was going with that.
Look, he tried to play that Chuck Berry song. Chuck Berry heard it, and he's like, oh no, we've got to make this guy disappear. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. All right, so we watched a short film called The Accountant. It starred some relatively famous people. It had Walton Goggins in it, which some of you would know from various TV shows, and also being incredibly Southern. He was in The Hateful Eight. He was also in Django Unchained. Those are the bigger name roles that he was in. The main guy, the one that played the accountant, actually was somebody as well. I just the name is escaping me at this point.
Yeah, the brother was Eddie King. I just can't think of what he was in.
What did the accountant do?
He did numbers. Everything. He did the numbers. What other? This film came out in 1999. It was Matthew Edge. He has been known for actor the. Oh really? This is they're only giving me that can't be right. That's
I don't think
weird.
You got the right account. I think this movie came out in 2001.
Did it come out in 2001?
Troubleshooting with Robert's phone. It's Robert's phone.
But if I just look up Goggins,
because he do not want to mess with his computer.
Robert's phone.
I mean, if I look at Walton Goggins, that would actually give me the information I was looking for.
Walton Goggins? Who's that? He's nobody. So what you thought about the movie, David?
It was certainly interesting. You know, 38 minutes, I was like, all right, I can hang around for this. It was definitely all based on the accountant. Mm-hmm. And there was no accountant for the fun, though. Every time.
No, the movie was funny in some parts. Like, it was just, like...
Well, it's all, I mean, like, the guy who played the accountant...
He was right, 19...
bore the weight of that short film. Like, yes. If he didn't put everything that he put into it, it wouldn't have been as entertaining as it was. Now, I mean... I don't think I'd recommend it to anybody, but it certainly wasn't bad.
Fair enough.
It was just kind of like, but I mean, like, yeah.
If you had accidentally happened upon this movie because you were looking up The Accountant and thought, oh, I want to see that new Ben Affleck film, and I have Amazon Prime, clearly this is finally paying for itself, so I don't have to pay any exorbitant price out in theaters. Would you have turned it off at any point being angry about this movie?
I think if I somehow had it on and I watched the first maybe 5 to 6 minutes of it,
yes,
I would have stuck around for the end. But, you know, there's a whole lot of, like, why is the accountant coming set up in the thing. But once that guy hits the lead, the accountant, yes. I mean, look, that's a hard thing to pull off. And I think he did it well.
Yeah, his name is... Da, 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 da. I didn't have it up. Ray McKinton. He has 74 film credits. The thing you may know him from, probably the one that I recognize. He was the other husband in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? If you like the one at the Five and Dime, whenever he was boxing with George Clooney,
he must have like lost weight after that because he is really like skinny in this movie. Because the husband from that movie wasn't he had a little weight on him?
No, he was skinny in that one too.
Damn.
Which role are you thinking of in Oh Brother, Where Art
Thou? The one who George Clooney's wife.
That, he was pretty thin in that film too.
Okay, well, maybe the suit covered it up.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's why people wear suits is because they are frail thin and they're like, ugh, I need something to pad this out.
Yeah.
And then Ben Affleck comes by and says, I got the suits right for you. If you want to look like that you are a puff and stuff, you eat nothing but Little Debbie's and then down it with like Shasta's, then wear these fine tailored suits that I have built. Forget about it.
Who is this?
Is Ben Affleck.
Oh, nailed it.
Oh, it's my Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation. What are you talking about?
My bad. But
oh my God, it's George Clooney. Oh my God.
But the last movie Ray McKinnon was in was Mud. He was also in The Blind Side, played Coach Cotton. So he been in some things. I guess he just gave up acting for
it's now. Possible.
Yeah. If you have any interest in watching whatsoever, wait till he gets on stage, the guy that plays the accountant. Because,
right.
I mean, the only reason to call this movie The Accountant is because the movie doesn't start till he arrives.
Right, right.
Like, after that, it's just his performance. You're just like, all right, this guy is put his all into it.
Yeah.
And it makes for a nice thing. Now... Does this movie... Well, all right, so basically we open on
Here's the problem. It is a short film. Does that matter to you that it needs to change its title? Because we've considered doing short films before tied to it, but I think the reason we did it specifically for this one is because of how highly it was being viewed on Amazon for the reason everybody's assuming it's that Ben Affleck movie.
And also because we wanted to get David on a podcast, and David just don't have enough time for us.
That's true.
Yeah. Speaking of, guys, this is really fun.
Oh, my God. Holy shit. Tie him down!
The thing I do have to say is that that's kind of an interesting point because, like, all right, if you look at The Accountant, the Ben Affleck one.
Okay, yes.
The first half of the movie you could certainly call The Accountant. But right. I would say, like, well, maybe the last third of it, you're like, okay, this is Taken. This is John Wick. This is one man versus an army. Like, it's like, oh yeah, he does do numerous things.
Yeah, it's all about Fear Herman Omega Prime Davis.
Yeah, I thought you looked.
Do you think we can call it the autistic? Is that it? Would that be really insulting at that point by hammering
maybe
that
like
point home?
Kiss Kiss Ad Ad.
I know. This is a weird one. He had the faces that he always would look at to determine what his emotions would Happy Face be a weird to horror type of film?
It would seem like a horror thing, but I get it. I see where you're reaching for on that one, and I don't dislike it actually.
Okay. Finally had a good suggestion. About time I did this, huh?
Yeah. For, the short film one, basically episodes. Two brothers have a farm. One of the brothers has a farm, and his other brother, who I guess went kind of city on him, says, I'm going to bring in this accountant to help you save the farm. It's granddaddy's farm, and it's kind of going out of luck. So they get all their papers together, and an old beat-up truck, almost like a urban legend you hear at the dark of the night, this man shows up.
Yeah, he definitely played himself almost like in superhero form, where he probably wears the same suit. He has the same, like, he had a specific drink he asked for, like, yeah. PBR. Like, he definitely played that persona.
Yeah. And so he arrives, and then basically the numbers don't lie, and he starts disclosing things about their personal life and saying all this and that and things that you can do to save the farm and make back the money that you owe the bank and such like that. Essentially, he tells them how much he's in debt, and then he goes around the farm saying insurance policies and different things he can do to potentially make back the money.
Right.
And then along the way, he kind of discloses information that he figured out just by reading the numbers and reading between the lines about his wife and family and you know, all such sorts of things.
Right.
And along the way, he discloses that he's not in it for the payoff or anything like that. He's a true believer in Southern life, Southern men, and the farmer. And so that's
why. Well, he definitely kept expenses down. Like, you got the impression that he lived from house to house. Like, he was juicing up just to move it, make enough bread to get to the next place. Like, he talked about the expenses that it would take him to get to point B. Like, that's all he was asking for.
Aside from all the smokes, liquor, and beer that he could consume, which was almost on, like, Robert, give me somebody that consumes a lot of things.
He was a Homer Simpson of consuming things.
He was a conehead. He ate, like, the styrofoam.
That is true.
Pretty much, he, like, drank, like, a whole... He was saddened that the whole case of PBR wasn't brought out and was consuming alcoholic beverages, like swigs of water.
It reminded me of a sketch that came on Comedy Central. There was this duo that performed that pretended like they went back in time, and every time...
Leo and Sullivan.
Yes. Every time they went back in time, one of them would consume two Twinkies. The other one would consume
Gatorade,
an entire liter of Gatorade. And they did this like six times up on stage to the point where they were creating this huge mess up there. But just to see him trying to eat or drink this was harrowing enough. Like, that, just to see him like down all that stuff. But by the end of it, it became a big old mess.
Yeah.
That reminds me, Twinkies got a chocolate peanut butter Twinkie coming out.
Yes.
Just so y'all know.
Stop listening now. Bye, consume. No, I will say that Comedy Central special, if you could find it, you can only find it like one or two places on the internet. I have looked for it, and that is a solid Comedy Central Presents Leo Sullivan. Leo, who went on to do, I think, 30 Rock and wrote for other things, Sullivan, the white guy, is married to the actress that played Holly on The Office.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. They're their
Holly on The Office.
She's done a couple other things, but she was just like really cute, and I was just like, "Who's she married to?" And I was like,
"Oh, the one that Michael Scott wound up marrying."
Yeah,
at the end, okay.
Yeah, her Holly. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So, we definitely feel like out of the two movies, this guy stole the show on being called the accountant. The short film at least needs to be called The Accountant.
Yeah,
more than anything.
Like, what I'm going to say is the first third of the Ben Affleck one,
bad assets. Just throwing out titles. I don't know.
No, I like that. Ben Affleck is bad assets.
Wait, what was the pet nickname the computer voice called him? Showboat?
Dreamboat.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work. The Salmon Grundy chant would also be a nice one. I think like Grundy, but not quite. Like, you need something.
OCD's accounts.
Or maybe just Baxter. Like, wasn't his real name his Baxter? Like, just like Dexter. Just
Braxton.
Braxton. I thought it was Braxton. Or
Braxton was his brother's name.
Well, what was his name? David. Never mind.
Yes, it was David. Whoa!
You'd all be dead if it wasn't for my son David.
But no, the only other name I could think of for the last one was just going to keep his name, but. He kept on saying, say again, come again, come again. They kept saying that.
His name was Christian Wolf.
Oh, Wolf. I remember because it was like Wolf Accounting or something like
Wolf,
that.
Wolf of Accounting Street?
Yeah.
Is that like,
there you go.
I think we found it. I think we found it.
The Wolf of Accounting.
No, just Accounting Street. It needs to be like of Wall Street. Like they're capitalizing on this, so everybody's
a wolf in accounting clothes.
There was. Do you watch any of the panel shows that they do for like the end of the year or the end of the best week ever panel shows that they do with Jimmy Carr hosting it? So they had a review for Wolf of Wall Street that someone gave on Amazon that says no wolves, 0 stars. It was just funny to hear that. I was like, yeah, that's pretty clever. Like,
but I gotta say, for the short film one, didn't you think he was gonna be the devil?
A little. It gave the impression that he was definitely some sort of spirit.
Because he had like these piercing blue eyes throughout the movie.
Not necessarily. A pale, lanky kind of devil in a suit kind of look, like almost demonic. Like, I come here bargaining for your soul to see if you're truly worth, like, you know, like, okay, you're in a desperate time in your life. I'm going to get you liquored up and make a bad, like, you know, devilish decision here. But, you know, it was kind of like, oh, the long con the whole time kind of thing.
No, it was a nice tale. It definitely felt like a good 30-minute film where a lot of movies feel like this is an introduction into what they would really want to do for a movie.
Yeah, if that was an hour and a half, that would not have played.
There have been plenty of great short films that are out there. This definitely puts it up as one that I'd recommend to other people. Like, this is, especially if you enjoy the short films. This actually won some awards whenever it first came out, if I can pull those up. Which will take me some time.
I like the unanswered thing. Like, did the wife really cheat or did she not cheat?
No. I think
they answered it.
Yeah, I thought it was understood. Well, I think there's also left in the air whether the accountant was cheating with seeing the wife as well.
That is also that one was more you're not
ambiguous.
Sure, but
ambiguous. I thought it was gonna be the brother.
No. They pretty much flat out said the brother was sleeping with his brother's wife.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he was saying, like, now you're gonna be the daddy to these boys.
It won an Oscar. Like, this film won an Oscar.
Wow.
Yeah. We watched an Oscar-winning film tonight? Wow. Good guy. I thought, we watched two Oscar-winning films, because Baby Driver will win an Oscar.
Sure.
Good for that guy. Good for
best short film live action is what it won it for in 2002.
I mean, seriously, good job for that, the main actor in that. He's like, oh, yeah, I was the lead in the Oscar-winning film.
He actually written and directed it, too.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah, I think so. I think the main guy also written and directed it.
No! You shut the fuck up, bro.
I know Walton Goggins produced it.
It makes sense. Yeah, he wrote and directed it.
Jeez, kudos, bro.
Maybe that's why he was retired. Kudos. I got my Oscar plaque. I can retire on y'all bitches.
That's the thing. It was probably like a passion project for him. So.
Yeah, definitely.
He called in a favor, got one or two names, and then he was just like, I've had
burned several houses down, killed his family dog, did the whole thing in order to get his movie made.
It was really weird when he walked around with nothing but prosthetics, like the man on stilts, but it played well.
Now, maybe I'm just at a point in my life where I don't have this. Do any of you have anybody else that does your taxes for you?
No.
Like, because I just use a program. Yeah. Is it mainly because I have a 9-to-5 job? It feels like that it's the easiest thing to do because they give me a W-2 and I don't write off anything, really.
No, I peeped that out about 10 years ago. I stopped going to H&R Block on the tech server because I got tired of sitting there and they own a program and they're
leaving. You leave it? Okay. See you later,
bye guys.
Sorry. We can call this the end. We picked it up. Yeah. For another There Can Be Only One podcast, my name is Robert Rao.
Herman Omega Prime, David.
And David Petretto.
Yeah, get out of here, David.
Just cut to that. Whoa. Did you do that on purpose?
I was trying to, but I didn't realize how bad it would be.
It's all on recording. Yay.
Robert, you have a lovely house. Thank you. Goodbye. I was going to be like, it's me, Braxton. No. And he was just going to go.
I learned it by watching you.
Yeah, exactly. He learned, like, you know, people don't mess with it. I don't know. Or it caused them to get focused.
All right, let's see. We got our levels here. David has a mystery guest in between you two. He decided to move that mic in between.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I was like, I know you'd like to have two mics on him at all times. Okay. See, there you go.
That the only two honk seal that exists out there.
Hard times for a seal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just got the watch.
It allows him to play Kiss from a Rose. That's the only way that he can do it.
Have you seen his Halloween party? So?
You don't need a mask.
He dresses as a walrus. It's amazing.
So I think we might switch this up and do a little bit of talk about Baby Driver. We can talk. We can go into the accountant at that point, but I feel like we can cover both the bases.
Oh, yeah.
Are you cool with that?
Yes.
All right. We can get started. It's fine. Two movies
so,
in Terra.
We're going to talk about the.
You knew that was going to happen. I don't know why you even tried.
I was like, holy shit, a minute.
Yeah.
Great. That's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
I can get through this. This is great.
You scared?
A little.
Okay.